But I want to share with you the Word of God. And as I share with you the Word of God, I'm sharing about Mexico, because Mexico's on my heart. Actually, I feel very uncomfortable speaking in English, because I've been in Mexico 31 years. I preach 7 to 8 times a week in Spanish. We speak Spanish at the home. I hold a Mexican passport. Actually, I'm up here this week, paid by the Mexican government to come to Canada. And we're doing a business with them. From here, I go to China with the Mexican government, and then back to Mexico to minister. But God's given us an idea to raise more money for ministry in Mexico. So we're still 100% missions, but we're working on this on the side. And the government's coming right in behind us and is pushing what we're doing. So it's been a blessing in that area. The government put about $20,000 into a stand in Toronto this week. I was at a food show, and they paid for the whole show. I just had to pay for my ticket up and back. And they did a great job for us. And I know within 2 or 3 months we'll be exporting from Mexico to Canada certain things that God's given us an idea that's going to go around the world. And that's why we're going to China with the same idea. And it's going to sell in China. It's going to sell everywhere. And it's going to be a blessing. It's taken us a while to get it going. But it's part of ministry. Because everything we do is focus us on God, focus on blessing people, and living God's purposes in our lives. And what I want to share with you in this morning is a word that God gave to me the end of last year. We're a praying church. We love to pray. We have prayer meetings. We get together and pray with other churches. The 4th of June, we're getting 5,000 Christians together in downtown Topeka, and we're going to have a prayer meeting. So that prayer is our life. But if we can put up that PowerPoint there for the sermon. God told me then the last year, he said, stop praying unfruitful prayers. And he says, you spend a lot of your time praying for things you don't need to pray for. Praying for things that will never happen because you don't understand where prayer goes and the power that's in it. And I want to title my message in this morning, You Shall Have Good Success. I'm not talking about being rich. I'm not talking about being a millionaire. I'm talking about having success. And I'm talking about living where the blessing is in our lives. And as we work in this area, God says success is reaching out to people. Success is doing what God has called us to do. Jesus was successful because he fulfilled his purpose here on this earth. And each and every one of us can be successful. And God has put the way to be successful in the Bible. We don't have to say, God, make me successful. That will never happen. We have to live according to his word and what he does in our lives. And I want to take you to the word of God. And I've got the thing here. I'll just go switching it. Thank you. Okay. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. A verse that's very well known. I can quote it in Spanish, but I can't quote it in English. So we'll read it here. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. You believe the word of God? Believe what it says into us? And so, and then verse 9 says, be strong and be courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for your God is with you wherever you go. So the first part is a promise that God says what we have to do. And the second part is what he's going to do, being with us in every one of that. And as I looked through the different English versions, the NIV says it in this way. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. And as I look at that, I said, well, God, who doesn't want to be prosperous? Who doesn't want to be successful? And the promise is given to us in an open way. It's not for one person or two. God's saying, this is for you. This is to reach out in your lives. But what do we need to do? We read it wrong, or at least I read it wrong. You might, folks up in Canada might read it right. But I read it for numbers of years, and I read it in this way. Then God shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. And we make God responsible for what happens in our lives. We say, well, God, you have to make me prosperous. You have to make this go. We started a business 3 years ago, and I started saying, God, well, you have to make the business go. And God says, no, I'm not. That's your responsibility. I've set the way that you can do it. I've told you how to walk to make it prosperous. But I'm not going to do it. You're going to do it because you're going to walk according to what I've done and what I've called in your life. We say, God, you need to help me because I'm asking you. But the Word of God is not that way. And as we've ministered in Mexico a number of years, we've gone to some places in 2-3 years, we've got a church. We've been in other towns 10 years and there's no church. Because God has His time, God has His way, but we have to continue doing what God has called us to do. We need to continue reaching out to the areas that God has called us to reach out into. So what the Bible really says is this: then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Who does it depend on? God has told us how to do it, and we're the people that have to do it God's way. When we start doing it our way, when we try to get out of God's way and try to make it work, God says it's not going to work. I've already given you the path, the way to make it go in all the areas of your life. The responsibility is mine. So I don't have to pray and say, God, make me successful. God says, I already made you successful. I've laid it out very carefully what you have to do every step of the way. And if you walk according to my word, you will be successful. You will prosper in everything that is put before you in all the areas of your life. So I decide if my way is prosperous or not, according to my obedience to the word of God. And as I speak this, you have probably, your mind's going to different areas in your lives or lives of other people where God has raised up churches or God has lowered churches according to their obedience to the word of God, to fulfilling what God has put on their life and what God has made them to do in their areas. A couple of years ago, we went down to the ocean. The Pacific Ocean is not far from us. As a crow flies, it's only 25 kilometers. But since we're 3,000 feet or 1,000 meters above sea level, it's an hour and a half drive. And we went down to the ocean, took my wife and my daughter down for the morning and came back for an afternoon service in a church that's right close to there. And when we got down there, the ocean was not in good shape, we call it. There was a tropical storm off the coast, and the waves were up to 3 meters high. And so we just went there and sat on the beach and played on the edge of the ocean. The ocean's usually very nice, beautiful, warm water. And if you work in Celsius, we're running about 25 degrees Celsius year-round. But this day was a terrible day. It was rain was starting to come in. The waves were high. It was just a difficult day. So as we sat there and were on the beach for a while, we were getting ready to leave about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And somebody started crying out in Spanish, "Socorro, ayuda, help us, help us." And somebody got out in the water and was drowning. And my wife looked at me. I used to work as a lifeguard. I used to swim well. That was a number of years ago. And she says, "You're going to help them?" And I said, "No, I'm not going in that water. I'm going to drown before they do." I was afraid of the waves, of what was going on. So I just let it go by. But I watched those people. There was probably 150, 200 people on that beach, a large beach. The people had been drinking and partying as they do in that area. But all of a sudden, they got very religious. People started kneeling down. People started praying, asking God. And what had happened, a father and two sons had been drinking and went into the water drunk. And the waves carried them out. And after a little bit of time, I saw that nobody was going in. Nobody would do anything. So I said to my wife, "Well, I'm going to go in, see what I can do." And I went in. It took me an hour to get one of them out. The other two drowned. God does not answer prayers just because we pray them. God does not say, "Okay, that's just going to happen." God has put His rules down of how the earth works. The same as the sun comes up every morning and the sun goes down every evening. There's rules that work in the spiritual areas of our lives. And if we obey those rules, we're blessed. And if we go against those rules, we're not blessed. We don't need to ask God's blessings. We have to live according to the areas that God has blessed in our lives. You folks here in Canada, you're not going to plant in the wintertime. You can't say, "God bless my harvest, I'm planting in October." But you plant according to the times that God has put to plant. And God will bless what you're doing when you live according to His word. When we live in the desert, we'll never be fruitful. We might see a lot of miracles. We might see a lot of things happen. But Israel, all the time they were in the desert, were not prosperous. But when God took them out of the desert and put them in the promised land, the things changed. God stopped doing the miracles and they started being blessed. They started eating the fruit of the land. They started living in houses. They started having a lot of things that in the desert they could not have. So God says to us that we need to learn to pray and ask. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 2 and 3 says, this is what the Lord says. Call to me and I will answer you. We've heard that a lot of times. And tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Once again, we quite often read this and we say it, call unto me and I will answer you and do what you want. And how many people do we know today that call and said, well, God, you have to do this, and God that, and God says, wait a minute. I'm not there to do what you want to do. I'm there to show you what you need to do. Because I've already put in the universe the rules that govern the physical and the spiritual. And as you walk according to these rules, you will be blessed in all the areas of your life. I believe in prayer. You folks were praying for my mom as well as we were. This last year she went through her bout with cancer. And praise the Lord, she's completely healed of cancer with three chemotherapy treatments. The Lord completely wiped it all out. And she's recovering physically. She's doing great. She's teaching. And that was done through prayer. But how many people do they know every week or every year that die of cancer? And we pray for them, and God doesn't do anything. We say, well, God, why is that? God says, because they don't live according to my laws. Other people, it might just be their time that God's calling them home. But there's things in prayer that we spend time doing. Instead of saying, God, what should I pray for, and what should I pray for? As we look to the Lord's Prayer, the disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. I don't know if you folks have ever taken time to see what areas Jesus mentioned about prayer. He didn't pray for all the sick people in the world. He didn't pray for all the needy people in the world. He put down certain areas that we should pray for, certain areas that our prayer is effective. God helps us. God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He can save whoever he wants. He can take away whoever he wants. But the Word of God tells us that God only has to help us in three areas. There's three areas we always have to pray for. One of those areas is against our enemies. God promises 1, 2, and 3 and more times that every time our enemies come against us, he'll stand up and help us. That's what he's there for. The second area is against evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Because he'll do it once and again and again. Because we cannot defend ourselves against the evil. It's in our nature, and God has come to save us and restore us so we don't have to fall into evil. And the third thing we pray about is salvation. Because we cannot pray, save ourselves. Our salvation only comes from God. But as we talk about our daily walk with God, there's a lot of things that depend on us. And not on God through prayer, but on God through his laws that he has set up with us before time. Psalm 121 said, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, and the moon will not harm you by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord watch over your coming and your going, both now and forever. That's his job. That's what he does. But God comes into our lives and says, okay, what do you need to ask for? What happens in your lives? What am I going to do for you? Let me show you with some examples in the Bible of people that have walked according to God's word and been blessed. The first person that I find in this area is Joseph. Joseph was blessed. The story, we know it well, a spoiled child, a favorite child of his father. He's sold into slavery, and his whole life is turned upside down. But the law of God that was put in his heart and his mind held him fear. And when there was the opportunity to sin, when there's opportunity to do wrong, he says, no, I've been taught well. I'm going to obey what God has put in my heart. And Joseph went up, came back down, went up, came back down, and he went up, and that was it. He was there. He was successful in the world's way of seeing things, in the spiritual way of seeing things. At the end of his life, his father prayed over him and said these words, Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. Because of your father's God who helped you. Because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings in heaven above and blessings in the deep below. And you can read the rest of it. The blessings came from God. The obedience came through Joseph. We never find Joseph saying, God, bless me. But as he walked according to God's word, he was blessed. And the blessing could not be taken away from him. When he was a slave, he was in Egypt. And he started working for Potiphar. And the first thing that Potiphar noticed was that Joseph was blessed. He says, this slave is different. Something different's happening in his life. I don't know what it is, but he's blessed. And these are the words that Potiphar said, and it's in the Bible. Then his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. And Joseph found favor in his eyes. How many of us want to have success in everything we do? How do you think our bosses would treat us if we had success in everything we do? What position do you think we'd have in the job? This is the promise that God has given. But it didn't depend on God. It depended on Joseph. God could not bless Joseph's brothers the same way. Because they didn't walk with the same integrity. They don't obey the same laws that Joseph was obeying. So as his brothers struggled through life, Joseph was blessed. And he came up and up and up in all the areas of his life. Another example is King Saul. King Saul, I think, is a great man, even though his end was different. He took the kingdom of Israel before there was a kingdom. Just a group of tribes judged by judges. And he formed a kingdom. He made a palace. He formed an army. He pulled everything together. A little boy in the backwoods that didn't know how to do anything. That was the youngest in his family. He was blessed. He fought against the Philistines. He defeated them one and two and three and four times. And God was with him every step he did. Until one day, he decided that the law of God was not so important. That his way of doing things was better than God's way. And when he disobeyed God, he lost his prosperity. And instead of going up, he started coming down and down. And he realized what was happening. He started struggling against it, but he couldn't do anything. Because the problem was not his person. The problem was his walk with God was going the wrong way. And as we look into the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, it said, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. The Lord didn't have to do anything. It was because of his disobedience. That was a result of what he did. The same as if I get up in a second story of a building and walk over the edge, I'm going to fall. If I go walking along God's word and I stop obeying it, I'm going to come down. But David started going up, started growing. And Saul was afraid of him because God was no longer with Saul, and God was with David. Why? Because David started believing the word of God. David started doing things according to what God had told him to do in his life. And Saul's disobedience did not only affect Saul. There'd be no problem if Saul was the only one that was affected. But Saul's disobedience affected his family, affected everyone around him. His sons died in battle. His grandsons had to run and hide. His uncles and his aunts were killed. Because Saul had come out of the blessing of God and started walking in disobedience with God. And years later, we find David asking about Saul's family. And he says, is there anyone in Saul's family that I can show favor to? There's anyone left? They're all gone. And the word of God says that David finds Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, living in a place called Lodebar. Means no pasture. You think there'll be blessing there? You think there'll be prosperity there? He's just eking out a living. He's just surviving because his grandfather had stopped walking according to God's word. And David comes along and has to change him from where he's living to another place. David says, come to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's blessed because we're walking according to God's word. We've brought the ark of the Lord back. We're worshiping God according to his word. We're offering sacrifices. We're doing everything according to the word, and we're going up and up and up and up. I look at David's life. When we talk about Solomon that constructed the temple, that beautiful temple that took 7 years to build for the Lord, Solomon didn't put a penny into it. David paid for it all. And when David died, he says, Solomon, everything's here. You just have to build it. Wouldn't that be great? That we could say to our children, it's all there. Just keep walking with God. Keep being blessed. Keep in this way that God has put before us. It's not a case of praying for blessing on your life. It's a case of saying, Lord, put me where you are. In Mexico, we're blessed. We not might have money in our pockets. I told you I'm going to Australia in July for my son's graduation. We don't have a penny to go, but it's going to be there. Because God has blessed us. In every step of the way that we've gone, God has blessed us. And when we do something, God's there. 2 years ago, we did a youth activity outreach in our city. And we got together all the people that don't go to church, all the youth. The people that do graffiti, the people who do break dance, the people that, the motorcycle clubs. And we did a big 2-day outdoor activity. 3,000 young people showed up for it. And we preached them the word of God. We put on musical displays of God. We gave them prizes. We put on a big show. It cost us $35,000. And the world paid for it. Because we're blessed. And God says, just start going and doing what I've called you to do. And as you walk forward in every area of your life, you will be blessed. There might be a day that God gives us an abundance and don't have to worry about the day of tomorrow. But right now we don't have to worry about it. We just have to walk according to what God has called us to do. And as we do that, God says, come on. My word is true. My word is faithful in all those things. Psalm chapter 1 says the same thing as Joshua 1:8. Blessed is the man that not walks in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners. Where are we? Where are we standing? What are we doing? Verse 3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, what will happen? He will prosper. What will happen? He will prosper. Parents, you can bring prosperity into your children's lives. Planting them into the Word of God. Teaching them the Word of God. That's why we have a school, a secular school. Because we can bring children in that are not in Christian homes, that do not know anything about God. And aside from teaching them all the things of the world, we can bring them into the Christian atmosphere. We have open our mornings with devotionals. We have prayer. We have Bible classes. And they're not Christians. Because we want to teach them the Word of God. This young boy that was up here in the morning, I thought it was great with his guitar. That's where they learn the Word of God. A while ago, somebody said to me, there's two type of people in church. There's people that come to church to go home. There's people that go home to come to church. How are we? What's our focus? I'm blessed because I'm in church every day. My children are in church every day. They get up in the morning, they say, where are we going to church today? And I think that's one of the greatest blessings in our lives. My daughter went through Bible school. She's ministering with us, she and her husband. My son's in ministry. My little daughter's coming along and she's going to be in ministry. Because success is following God's word, is doing what God has called us to do in every aspect of our lives. It is written. I don't have to pray about it. It's not a case of prayer. It's a case of doing. All I have to do is to fulfill what God has written, and I will be successful. Success is fulfilling God's purpose in my life. What purpose does God have for you in your life? In 1980, God called me to Mexico. I fought against that for a number of years. I lived for 7 years in Mexico because God had called me. And I said, God, I'm supporting myself. I'm not being a missionary. I'll work in the church. I'll work weekends. I'll do everything. But I'm doing it myself. And God was so good, he let me do it. For 7 years, I was blessed. I got a fantastic job. I worked as a pilot. I'm a pilot by profession. And then I went to car sales, and I was blessed. I sold more cars in our state than any other salesman in the whole state. I was blessed. Then God says, no, that's not my way. Leave the sales, leave the work, and dedicate yourself to my work. And the change was not easy. But I did it, and I'm still blessed. And I see the blessing coming up. Success is fulfilling God's purpose in my life. I might not see 2,000-3,000 people in our churches. We might minister to 200 a week. But there are people that have gotten saved under our ministry. There are people that didn't know about God. I can go through all of Mexico, and there's people that we've ministered to that are serving God. Our churches in Mexico tithes the missions. Every one of our churches, 10% goes to missions. And we're supporting churches in Pakistan. We're supporting churches in China. Why? Because the call is to all of us to reach out and say, God, that's what I'm doing. God has promised us that every word that goes out of his mouth will not come back void, but it will accomplish what he has proposed it to accomplish. And it will prosper. It will prosper what it was sent to do. What word has God given to you? What's the ministry that God has called you to do? We work in towns of 200 people. We work in cities of 500,000. My brother works in a city of 3 million people. It doesn't matter where we are. It depends on what God has called us to do. If God has called me to save 5 people and make sure they get to heaven, I'm successful if they make it. And if God has called me to preach to 5,000 and get them to heaven, I'm successful if I do it. The key to success is very simple. Live totally according to the word, and you'll be successful. That's it. Is it difficult? Yes, it is. But the problem is not with God. The problem is with us. 3 things we have to do. The first thing we have to do is learn the word. Joshua 1:8 says, every day, get in the word. Read the word. Make it part of your life. Just meditate on it. It's not how much of the Bible you read, it's how much of the Bible you get into you. We might understand it differently. I work with churches of all denominations through our whole state. And I'm not called to change their doctrine. I'm not called to pastor them. I'm called to bring unity to the body of Christ. In my churches, I pastor. I tell them what to believe. I tell them how God's word is preached and what's to be done. But God says, learn the word. The second thing we have to do, I have to apply it to my life. I don't have to apply it to other lives. I have to apply it to my life. I have to be the example. I have to show people that it works. The third area, I have to live the word. And that's where it's difficult. But if I do these three things, I can secure you. I can make it sure that you'll be prosperous and you'll be successful. You don't have to pray one prayer and say, God, make it happen. God says, I've already made it happen. I've told you how to do it. Just get up and do it. Mexico is a great mission field, but there's lots of mission fields in the world. I think this is great, building churches in Macedonia. See, you're reaching out to India. There's lots of areas to reach out to. It's doing what God has called you to do and being successful. Take this word, meditate on it, and hopefully God will do something to you as he did in my life.
I try, but I can't control my fear. Where do I go from here? Sometimes it's so hard to pray when you feel so far away. But I am willing to go where you want me to. God, I trust you. And there's a raging sea right in front of me. Wants to pull me in, bring me to my knees. So let the waters rise if you want them to. I will follow you. I will follow you. God's love is enough, I will follow you.